Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune, joined by my boss, sports editor of the Union Tribune, Jay Posner. Jay, you're ready for spring training, aren't you?
It's baseball, Kevin. Let's go already. This is a ball that actually I got at the one of the American League playoff games at Petco Park. Was hit up to the upper level where I think just about every writer who was there got a foul ball at some point. Obviously, there was no fans, no kids to give it to or anything like that. So took it home, put it on the shelf, and we'll have it there. It's got the scuff marks and everything. It proves it was actually hit. But
I brought home my first couple of baseballs last year for the exact same reason, that there were no kids to give it to.
Right.
So, you know, it usually comes in the press box. You know, of course, I make the one-handed grab and then I give it to a kid. That's how it goes. Actually, the only thing I do is get out of the way and get my computer out of the way, because I've actually seen them hit computers and that'd be a disaster. Anyway, we're here, Jay, and kind of weird. We should be used to it by now, but we're starting COVID season, the sequel, and I'm at home and spring training begins tomorrow. First workout for the pitchers and catchers actually on the 18th, but pitchers and catchers report on Wednesday as we tape this on Tuesday. And I'm not going to Arizona until Sunday because the media is not actually allowed to be there until the day of the first workout, which for the Padres will be Monday.
The first full squad workout,
we
should point out, which is different because it seems odd. I'm not exactly. Did you ever get an explanation for why that was? I mean, is it any less dangerous to have you there starting on the 22nd as opposed to the 18th? Or
only thing I got was that because the intake process is so involved and position players are really going through it, that basically we're in the way, that there's the potential that we could violate some of the, very strict protocols, because there's only going to be certain places. Usually in spring training, we have the run of the place pretty
much. Right.
There's only certain places we're going to be allowed. So that was the explanation. And you know what? Just like last year, there's a whole bunch of stuff that due to health and safety and the respect for that you just go, okay, because you're right, Jay. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to, be infecting anybody. And I would certainly be respectful. But hey, that's the way it is. I'll tell you what, the Padres certainly had to disappoint a lot more media this year. The Japanese media, even members of the Japanese media requested if they could stake it out in the parking lot so that they could get some shots of Yu Darvish. And they were denied that. The parking lot isn't even open. So the Padres are a very hot ticket this year. That's one thing that'll be missing. There would be more national writers, international press. It would be an absolute zoo this spring if it weren't for the restrictions.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I'm not sure if the Korean media has as big an impact over here is the Japanese media, but that would be big as well with Kim joining the team. But yeah, I'd forgotten about the Darvish part. I mean, that would be a huge story. And you're right. I mean, I think, some national media come try to hit every camp anyway, but the Padres would be one of the first stops this year for a lot of
the one you throw in there on
exactly.
March 24th.
I think I can get to Peoria right before my plane leaves
I got a flight at noon.
Take me back to Connecticut. Can you get me one interview so I can just say I went there? Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it brings us to the whole theme, which is that everything is different. Maybe the COVID's not different, unfortunately, although hopefully we'll be out of this sooner rather than later this year. But everything is even more different for the Padres this year than it was last year. And it's they are a much bigger story, obviously, in San Diego, where they were big last year. But nationally, they are one of the teams to watch and probably, if you think about it, the number one team to watch for most people, because everybody's always paid attention to the Dodgers and the Braves and teams like that. But it's been quite a while since people have had a reason to pay attention to the Padres.
Even when they were good, they were kind of an afterthought, right? I mean, they weren't this big. Of course, nothing was blown up or even sometimes blown out of proportion like it is now. But back in 1998, certainly there are a couple of okay years in the early 00s and 05, 06. And they're bigger. They really are. They're bigger than ever. Regardless of the advent of social media, they're exciting because they showed that last year. Mm-hmm. I do think we want to be careful to get ahead of ourselves and say, they still have a lot of work to do. But there are some things we can say is that we can count on them being an exciting team, being better, being more relevant than mm-hmm. they have been. And let's talk about a couple of the things that make that so. I I think it obviously starts with the starting pitching. This is my favorite cliche of all of the baseball cliches, because to me, it's the most important and the most true. And it is about the starting pitcher giving you a chance to win that night. And you look at this rotation and you say, if Dinelson Lamet's healthy, if Chris Paddock is even back to a semblance of what he was his rookie season, wow, you kind of go into every night going, Padres got a chance to win.
Right, right. And you see, and you mentioned how important pitching is. All you have to do is go back to that series with the Dodgers or even the playoffs in general. I mean, they won a clinching game with a bullpen game. Not normally the way to go about it or the way it's drawn up. So pitching, so important, starting pitching. If they can get guys to go, you know, even six innings into games on average, and occasionally guys going seven and oh my gosh, even eight innings in a game. But I think they have some guys on the staff that are capable of doing that. And we know one guy, you know, Blake Snell feels like he has a lot to prove in terms of going deeper into games. We've seen Lamet do that. We've seen Darvish do it. I think Musgrove and Paddock are certainly capable of doing that. But it is true, assuming that if these guys can stay healthy and if Paddock can be a semblance of what he was a couple of years ago, or even at times last year, as we talked about before, he wasn't horrible all of last year, no. Then this team will have very good starting pitching and have a chance to win games and, you know, every single night in the season.
We got really excited. I say we, you know, the media, we got excited. We're not Padres fans per se, but like I'm a fan of good baseball and the talent that was brought in with the trades for you, Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Blake Snell. It's like, wow, look at the top of this order, right? Dinelson Lamet finished fourth in Cy Young voting. Wow, this is incredible. And the more that I talked to people in the organization, the more it became clear that the concern about being able to maintain the quality of the pitching that they anticipate over the course of the year. So while this talent was great, what was really good is that having those guys at the top sort of pushed down where you're no longer now counting on Adrian Morahone. You aren't absolutely counting on, oh, well, Chris Paddock has to come back and be that guy we made the opening day starter in 2020. Ryan Weathers doesn't have to make that step up. Wow, you know what? We can put Mackenzie Gore in AAA. What about Jacob Nix? I want to make sure to mention him as a possible guy that and Michelle Baez is guys that could be starters. What we're talking about here is depth. These guys played 60 games last year. The top starting pitchers in the league made 10, 11, 12, 13 starts. Joe Musgrove made 8 starts last year. They're going to be asked to make quite a few more, 25, 30, 33 starts this year. It's likely not going to happen for most pitchers. The Padres are going to need these guys. And if you're watching us live, you see 5 names up on the screen. They're going to need these guys to step in and be able to fill out some starts during the year.
Right. And you wrote about this today. With, you know, Baez, Gore, Weathers, I forget who else it disappeared
from the screen.
Morahone and Nix, I think were on there. But they're going to need starts from people like that. But to start the season, there's not the pressure. I mean, Chris Paddock was the number one starter on this team last year. And right now, he's probably the number 5. I mean, if you're going to rank guys, he's the number 5 starter if you go off of what Musgrove did at the end of last year. But based on what they did at the end of 2020, you would have Musgrove ahead of Paddock at this point. So that just tells you how much better the quality of this rotation is, that you were able to drop. Paddock goes from 1 to 5. You know, guys like Lucchesi aren't even here anymore. So it's certainly a situation where the Padres have set themselves up where if somebody gets hurt, which, look, it's going to happen. You're not going to have 5 guys make 32, 33 starts each as we go through the season. People are going to miss starts. You're going to need pitchers' depth to get through 162 games, and that's where they are at this point. And then, again, for those of you watching, put up on the screen potential bullpen pieces. I mean, there's 13 names on the screen. All those guys are not going to make the team. Austin Adams, Jacob Nix, Dan Altavilla, Emilio Pagan, Baez, Pomerantz, Strom, Guerra, Mason Thompson, Tim Hill, Ryan Weathers, Pierce Johnson, Taylor Williams. I'm sure there's even a couple that aren't
there
even.
There are. There's probably 16 or 17. So there's another 3 or 4 names
on there. But I think, you know, we can start with, if we shift to the bullpen, in terms of who's going to be the closer, To me, the obvious guys, I'm not a believer that you need to have one guy closing games. I think you can find two or three guys that should be capable of doing it. To me, the most obvious guys are Pagan and Pomerantz.
Yep.
Do you think that's where we're headed? Do you think other people will be involved, or do you think on a given night that Jay Singler is going to look to those one or two of those two guys first?
Everything you just said, because we're going to be looking to those two guys, and it could be some other guys in there. I believe, based on the people that I've talked to, that the best case scenario for them is that Emilio Pagan is getting the bulk of the save opportunities, but that Drew Pomeranz would also be pitching in the ninth inning to try to close out games. There's a lot of belief that Austin Adams, now a season removed from his ACL injury, velocity will be up. His slider was fantastic last year. Mm-hmm. Needs to find the strike zone, perhaps a little more, at least control that pitch a little bit more. That's the closer in the making. How healthy is Jose Castillo, one of the guys that we left off of our list here? How healthy is he? And not only that, how healthy can he stay? People keep talking about Mason Thompson as a guy who's going to make the jump to the majors at some point this year. He's throwing like 98 miles an hour on a regular basis. They have a lot of pieces now. And the good thing is it's like basically proven pieces, except for, I guess, the last three guys that I mentioned. But it's proven pieces that can get the job done. And there are teams like the Rays out there who have been successful. Now, Pagan, I think, had, 19 saves for them in 2019. But they have guys years where they have guys making 10, 11 saves, and they have a couple of them because you trust everybody back there in your bullpen. It's not like it used to be. I mean, it used to be like a given, man. Oh, you got to wait to see what a guy can do in the ninth inning. Wait till you see what he's the captain of the ship, because the eighth inning's different than the ninth. Well, I don't know. The game has changed. A lot of times the eighth inning, maybe Pomerantz pitches in the eighth inning because that's when obviously the left-right matchup, but the 1-2-3 hitters are up. And that's the luxury that the Padres, that Jace Tingler has this year.
Really, to me, the only question with guys pitching between the eighth and ninth is from a mental standpoint, where guys, and not so much can they pitch in the ninth inning, but after they fail in the ninth inning, because guys are at some point, you're going to be out in the ninth inning and the other team's going to beat you. And you've got to make that trudge off the mound toward the dugout where they're celebrating behind you. The thing about the best guys is they're able to come back the next day and forget that it happened. And that's the only question I would have about some of these guys who haven't done it before is if they fail, when they fail, how do they bounce back the next day? But I think in general, there's no reason to me anyway, that a guy who's pitching great in the seventh or eighth inning can't also pitch in the ninth inning. It's still baseball.
There's something that I want to bring up that is my fault, since I provided the information for the graphics and those were sent in and then it slipped my mind. The Padres have added two other relievers that they will probably announce.
Right.
They'll probably make it official on Wednesday, I'm told, but Mark Melancon and Keone Kila, these are two guys who've had success as closers. Now they're not being brought in to be closers here, but again, two guys you're throwing into the mix to throw the seventh, eighth, possibly the ninth inning. Because just like, COVID could hit and injuries could hit the starting rotation, it can hit the bullpen at any time. So
we saw it last year. I mean, Pagan was out a while. Pomerantz was out. I mean, Kirby Yates was supposed to be the guy at the back end of the bullpen. And I think he pitched in six games or whatever it was. So, yeah, there's going to be that. And obviously adding depth with those two guys that you mentioned is a big thing. And those guys are two more guys. And again, one of the other things is, I think we saw games in the past where it was like Kirby Yates had to save three games in a row and pitch on three successive days. That's something that you can avoid now.
And you're going to have to, because these guys aren't going to do that this year. So, yeah.
Right. So you have that kind of depth, and that's a positive. I guess if there's a negative at all, if you wanted to point to that, it's the idea that there isn't one specific guy proven over a long period of time. I mean, Pagan had the 1 year with a lot of saves, and him and Pomerantz pitched late in games last year. But I don't really see that as a big negative. I think you talk about four, five, six guys that we just discussed. Pierce Johnson's another one who I think you could put in there
that Johnson. Assigned.
Yeah, with him and Adams, and then Melancon and Kayla and Pomerantz and Pagan. I mean, that's six guys right there. Matt Strom. I mean, no reason if Matt Strom's healthy that he can't go in there and get, even if it's just getting one or two guys out in the ninth inning. You know, you don't have to have one guy in the ninth. I think this team has done a great job of building depth on the pitching staff in both spots, the rotation and the bullpen.
I think it was a blessing to them that, and this is nothing against Trevor Rosenthal, though I think he was, while he had a zero ERA with the Padres, he was inches, if not millimeters away from having a much higher ERA last year. So I think it's good that his price was too high. They were talking with him, but they just couldn't get close with him. Same with Kirby in terms of the price. I'm not saying it was good for the Padres. I would like to see Kirby Yates come back. But I think that you're right, Jay. That's what they've done. Regarding Matt Strom, to be conservative, to be realistic, though I don't bet against Matt Strom, what I've seen him do the last 3 years with the Padres while in pain a lot of the time with his knees, I wouldn't bet against him. But even he acknowledges it's a little bit of a long shot that he would be ready for the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And especially in this year when the Padres expect it would be a monumental disappointment if they're not in the postseason. So they want to make sure that this guy's good for the long haul.
Right. Having guys come back with sort of, you know, bring a guy in a month or two into the season with, you know, with a fresh arm is not the worst thing in the world. I mean, I think some of these guys are going to need breaks during the year, and whether it means they go on the DL or they're just down for 3 or 4 days or whatever, it might be the injured, the DL.
I was going to say, list. That's insensitive. It's the injured list.
anyway.
I want to talk about another facet of the offseason that to me, Jay, was overshadowed, as it should have been, by the addition of the pitchers. But the Padres were able to bring back Jurickson Profar, and they were able to add a kid named Brian O'Grady in the outfield, and also a infielder who will also probably get some time in the outfield named Ha-Sung Kim from Korea. This is the kind of depth, if you look at all those positions that are up on the board, if you're watching us live in a graphic we called bench versatility, Kim is going to get work at least. I'm not saying he'll appear at all of them, but he's going to get work at all the infield spots in the spring. They're going to give him an outfielder's glove and see what he can do out there. Jurickson Profar basically can play any position on the field except catcher and has in the major leagues. Jorge Mateo, there's a guy, didn't mention it at first. Mm-hmm. He can play left. Center. He has played left center, second base. This is Dodger type versatility, if not quite yet Dodger type depth in terms of the proven quality that the Dodgers have been able to use in their successful run here, winning 8 straight NL West crowns. But I think this was just a huge part of showing us what the Padres are trying to build.
Right. And if you look at, if you're going to go with a lineup, let's say the lineup has Hosmer, Cronenworth, Tatis, Machado, and Nola on the infield, or Caratini, if you know, as a backup. But anyway, and then in the outfield you have Pham and Grisham and Myers. So there's your sort of 8 starters. If you're going to have 5, let's say 5 bench guys, and you have Kim and Profar and Caratini, that's 3 right there. And then you know maybe it's O'Grady and Mateo as the other 2. There's also guys that aren't on the list that you can mention as well as possibilities, but there's good depth there as well. And as you said, good versatility where guys can move around and, you know, Profar can fill in anywhere. Kim can fill in a lot of different places. It's again, a testament to what they did in the offseason in terms of building quality depth across the board.
And I left O'Grady off of this list, though I did mention him. He can play all 3, has played all 3 outfield spots in the infield. And I think they're going to carry 14 pitchers. I don't see any way that they wouldn't. So that really, leaves you maybe with a 4-man bench, or it's a 5-man bench with your extra catcher. But probably the 4 guys, Kim, Profar, Mateo, O'Grady. I'm not saying that's for sure who it's going to be, Mateo, but I really do think this is, man, these guys are starting. These are who we're trying to pick up as the great hope for the Padres 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Right.
You know, Profar would have been a great free agent get for them back in 2017. So that shows how far they've come. Jay, before we go, the national media, what I've seen on the shows, I've seen on social media, the Padres and Dodgers, they're the new Yankees Red Sox. Makes me chuckle a little bit because it's a little soon. However, dude, Whereas you look over at the NL East and none of those teams are being given more than like an 80% chance to make the playoffs because it's so tightly bunched.
Right.
You appear to be the Dodgers and the Padres in the West. And I just can't get out of my mind how good I think the Padres are going to be, but they're going to have to play a wild card game to get in.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, I just did if you're not watching, I did the mind blowing.
And then they're going to have to see. And then that means we're going to have to see another first round or set, whatever you want to call it, series, division series against the Dodgers again, right? Because the wild card team will play the team with the best record.
I did think of that the other day.
Yeah. So yeah.
There's still room for the postseason to be expanded and for that to change this year. But
correct.
So,
but that's too bad that we're going to end up again with a best of five series as opposed to a best of seven. Although last year best of five was more than enough. But I would think, you know, that this year might be different. But yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate for the Padres that they find themselves in division. But hey, look at the Rays last year.
Yeah,
the Rays over the past several years. I mean, it's like, oh, the poor Rays. They're in the division with the Yankees and the Red Sox, and the Rays ended up being the best team. So,
yes,
it's a long season. Yes. You can't. I don't think anybody is conceding anything. I think it's a lot more fun for fans, certainly in San Diego, to be able to go into a season with great optimism like this and be excited about the team and be excited about watching the team. And now the hope is, of course, that people can actually go to Petco. Are you hearing any more about Peoria and whether fans might be allowed to get in down there?
Supposedly within a matter of days, once they get together with Peoria and Peoria signs off on the Padres plan or proposal, they'll announce the limited number of tickets that they would have, between a thousand and that's probably about it there. Mm-hmm. It's not Peoria sports complex. The stadium's not very big.
Right.
And then how about this? There is, as long as California keeps trending downward in terms of the COVID cases and all the different metrics there, there's a belief that there will be an extremely limited number of fans for opening day at Petco Park. That right from the start, they would have some fans. It's quite the calculus the Padres are going to have to do to get all their season ticket holders, be able to get into all these games. But then eventually at some point, be that June, July, maybe August, we're in probably one of the more restrictive states right now. You probably get 10 to 12,000 people at games in the latter part of the season. I do want to point out something. Again, my mistake on the scroll earlier that our producer John was putting across the screen. I didn't update that. The Padres spring training schedule, everybody's spring training schedule was pushed back a day. And I had the first spring training game against the Mariners being on the 27th, which is what it was. It is now on the 28th. So don't be thinking that. Also on the scroll down there, Padres Daily, my newsletter that I put out. It'll come out 4 to 5 times during spring training, starting on Thursday. It'll be the first one that we get in your inbox. There are plenty of ways on our Padres page on the Union Tribune Padres page to sign up for that. It's an email. It comes to your inbox every single day once the regular season starts. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of my passion project. People enjoyed it last year. Got a lot of subscribers. So look forward to that. And I would really love to have you as one of those subscribers.
And Jay? It's free. It's free, Kevin. It's free.
It's free. Like, it's what free is free?
It has a lot of great information in it. And I would second that you're definitely missing out if you're not subscribing to that. It takes 5 seconds to sign up. It comes to your inbox every day. It's right there. It's free. And it's full of information.
Did you say it's free?
I think it is. and it's a great way to get your day started. So,
you know, our newspaper is practically free. It's like $1 a week. Literally free.
I know we're almost giving it away. So if you're not subscribing, we certainly hope you'll join us as a subscriber and join us, of course, here. We'll probably do this once a week, at least for now. And we'll decide if there's a reason to do more, but we'll figure out a day for next week. Kevin, maybe even the 23rd, maybe a week from today, you'll have seen a workout then, right, on the
23rd? Well, if we do it, probably I will have seen two by the time we would do it, maybe if we did that on Tuesday afternoon next week. Yeah. So, yeah,
so either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, we will we'll do another one of these, and hope you'll join us. And until then, catch up on everything on our website.
Thank you guys for joining us.